folks, welcome and thank you for tuning in. This is Henrik. We'll start with a clip.
Many individuals and groups, particularly Jewish and Zionist organizations, would prefer that the world remains ignorant of these dissenting voices and have coined the terms Holocaust denial and revisionism in an attempt to silence them. They have managed to persuade the governments of many otherwise civilized countries to criminalize any adverse discussions of the details of the Holocaust on pain of imprisonment or a heavy fine, on the basis that to question any facet of the official Holocaust story somehow constitutes an incitement to racial hatred or something equally nonsensical. I find it offensive beyond belief that a combination of Jews and Zionists has been able to persuade so many governments that the Holocaust is the single event in history on which open discussion will not be permitted. It cannot possibly be incitement to racial or religious hatred to point out that something that is said to have happened over 60 years ago may not have happened in exactly the way it was reported to have happened at that time. The world had not even begun to recover from the unbelievable suffering of hundreds of millions of people, not only Jews, and the deaths of about 60 million human beings for reasons and causes which may never be fully understood. Whatever the reason, such a ban is certainly not in line with the Declaration of Human Rights, conferring, as it does, a special privilege on one particular group of people over all others. Making certain details of the Holocaust sacrosanct stirs deep suspicions in my mind, because it could mean that there are those who wish to conceal certain facts which may not reflect well on themselves or on those who played an active part in the deaths and suffering of Jews and Gentiles alike before, during, and immediately after that terrible war. I cannot think of any other reason why genuine historical research should be characterized as being offensive to the memories of those who died, or as an incitement to racial or religious hatred. And I often wonder why so many of the people who seem to claim a special privilege of remembrance for their own suffering, or for that of their forebears and co-religionists, are now persecuting and killing others in a land that Zionism has been insisting that they were predestined to settle in since before the beginning of the 20th century. It is the utter single-mindedness of those who hunt down and persecute so-called Holocaust deniers and revisionists that I object to. Millions of people, not only Jews, suffered and died horrible deaths on battlefields, on the high seas, and in fire-bombed cities during a conflict that may never have happened, had international Jewry not declared economic war on Germany. The front page of the London Daily Express of March 24, 1933 says it all. Judea declares war on Germany. Jews of all the world unite. Boycott of German goods. Mass demonstrations. One of the leaders of the movement, Samuel Untermeyer, ignored pleas from Jews who lived in Germany not to go ahead with the boycott, for obvious reasons, but on August 6, 1933, he said this on WABC New York. Each of you, Jew and Gentile alike, who has not already enlisted in this sacred war, should do so now and here. It is not sufficient that you should buy no goods made in Germany. You must refuse to deal with any merchant or shopkeeper who sells any German-made goods or who patronizes German ships or shipping. We will undermine the Hitler regime and bring the German people to their senses by destroying their export trade on which their very existence depends. When looking at historical events and their far-reaching consequences, it is essential to try and understand the context in which they took place. At the time of the Jewish declaration of economic war, the political picture in Germany was extremely volatile. In certain circles, it has been largely forgotten, perhaps conveniently, that Jews formed a substantial proportion of the Bolshevik elite at the birth of the Soviet Union, little more than a decade earlier, and that many German Jews supported communism during Hitler's rise to power. Those who remember, or who have learned about the McCarthy era in the United States, should be able to understand the fears of Germans in the early 1930s to what many of them saw as the real threat of a Jewish-led communist takeover. Add to that, international Jewry's openly promoted aim to destroy its economy. How can it not be understood that a rise of anti-Jewish sentiment in Germany was inevitable and far more rational than it is characterized today?
This is not a Jewish meeting. This is the conscience of America making itself felt.
In that speech, Rabbi Stephen Wise, claiming to speak for all Americans, turned the Jews of Germany into the enemy inside the gates. Make no mistake, this declaration of war was a Jewish initiative and the reason why the Jews of Europe were later herded into concentration camps. Today, with no mention of the context, the not unreasonable fears of the Germans are denigrated as being anti-Semitic, pure and simple. A later circumstance with similar overtones was the fear generated in the United States by the attack on Pearl Harbor, which led to the rounding up and internment of all people of Japanese descent. As a result of their confinement for the duration, many of them lost their homes, jobs, businesses, friends, and savings, and many of them died in those prison camps. But for the imprisoned Japanese, there was nothing similar to the Zionist pact with Hitler, known as the Transfer Agreement, which allowed German Jews to head for the safe haven of Palestine. So what is it about the Holocaust story that needs so much protection?
Germans planned and perpetrated the Holocaust. We must confront this fact and accept our own guilt and the responsibility that results from it.
Hang on, some Germans may have done what you say, but not the wonderful German girl that I met in London in 1958. She would have been 8 years old when the war ended. This apparently self-hating German justice minister is claiming that children must bear the guilt for the sins of their fathers. That is a monstrous concept from the book of Exodus, and in my book, far closer to hate speech than many of the criticisms one reads about Zionist excesses in Gaza, for example. Her contribution to a podcast series called Voices of Anti-Semitism ended with this incitement to disregard Article 19 of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights.
It remains important that we do not leave any room for Holocaust deniers.
How many times does it need to be said? Questioning certain details about the Holocaust is not denying it happened, but in the interests of balance, it is just as important that we do not leave room for Holocaust liars. The grotesque power without responsibility of the Anti-Defamation League under Abe Foxman, whose accusations of Holocaust denial, anti-Semitism, hatred, prejudice, bigotry, and discrimination echo around the so-called free world, resulting in loss of jobs, fines, and prison sentences, allows the lies told about certain details of the Holocaust to remain on countless internet websites with impunity. There is a teacher's guide to the Holocaust, which includes these chilling statements. 1. An entire state bureaucracy was mobilized solely for the purpose of annihilating Jews. 2. German technological expertise was harnessed to make the mass murder as efficient and low-cost as possible. I have been unable to unearth any specifics about the alleged entire state bureaucracy, official documents, directives, blueprints, and other records which the Germans were known to be meticulous about, and the second statement appears to be at odds with what actually happened. Now, there is no denying that German science and engineering was second to none at the beginning of World War II. Planes, tanks, the V-1 and V-2, and other weaponry were quickly developed, and their rocket scientists were snatched up by the US and the Soviets for their space programs at the end of the war. So the question is, given the technological expertise that was available, were the Germans so stupid that they would leave it to prison camp commanders to devise their own methods for carrying out the greatest mass murder in history? But no matter how many died, each and every one of these deaths was a tragedy, as were the deaths of millions of others during this terrible conflict. But this does not mean that we should be prevented from finding out how and why they died. No nation, organization, association, no religious sect, no open, closed, or secret society, nor any individual has the right to prevent me from seeking the answers to these and other questions, should I choose to ask them, privately or publicly. It is my right, under the protection of Article 19 of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. It is also yours.
That was a bit of a preface, an excerpt from a video by Anthony Lawson, who I think made some good points about this entire drama surrounding, as we're told, one of the most important and horrible atrocities in the modern world. And yet we're not allowed to examine it in any greater detail. We are simply to receive its unadulterated doctrine. It is to remain unquestioned and pure, if you will, as given to us from the media pulpits of the Church of Guilt, Shame, and Victimhood. Well, this is, as you know, if you are a regular listener, Red Eyes Radio, an independent, truth-seeking radio program that is all about dispelling the myth-makers, questioning everything that we've been told, and examine the things that we are not supposed to. If you want more of what we do, redicecreations.com is the website. Well, the topic, as I'm sure you've been able to figure out, is really about making critical thinking illegal. In our time, there's no question so ripe for the picking, considering that in many countries, it has been legislated that this event is not to be questioned or even examined in any way at all. The Holocaust has therefore turned into a new kind of religion, and just like in the time of the church, it has its own inquisition, inquisitors and enforcers, but now it's NGOs and anti-free speech groups out there who do everything they can to prevent discussion, questioning, and opposition to the dogma from being heard. Olle Damegård, who has been with us many times before on the program, returns today to share some of his own research and thoughts on this very convoluted and difficult subject. We, as always, suggest that you keep an open mind, but not so much that your brain falls out. Listen and do your own research and come to your own conclusions. Feel free to disagree, but don't do it on the basis of not having listened to the critique. And don't do it on the basis of fallacies such as appeal to authority, saying that, you know, people with more authority than us have told us, therefore it is true. Or the other fallacy, argentum ad populum, appeal to the people or appeal to popularity, which is basically because everyone knows it, therefore it is true. In addition to speaking with our guest today and addressing some of the questions that he has about all of this, we've also added some links to some videos in the relevant links section for this program on redicecreations.com and redicemembers.com that we think will put some of the things that we've been told in perspective and give us the other side to the story that has become so central to how, unfortunately, we've come to define ourselves, especially in Europe and the West. Now, if something is amiss, I can't stress enough the importance of us not only knowing about this, but also that we must actively not allow ourselves to be bullied into silence by exaggerations and misinformation. And we must not give way and give up who we are and unlearn to feel resentment for our people, who we've been told not only allowed this atrocity to happen, but somehow that we systematically encouraged it, and that we are to carry the blame over generations like it's some kind of religious doctrine. Anyway, an endless string of, I think, good reasons could preface this program for why this is a topic worth to examine in greater detail. And I hope that you understand and appreciate the importance of it. But we'd be stuck here all day just doing that. So let's just kick off the show and listen to what our guest has to say in this extended one-segment program. Welcome back, Mr. Damegård. It's very nice to have you back, as always. Thank you for returning so soon again. I hope you've been doing well since we last spoke.
Yeah, I've been doing absolutely great. So much to do. I mean, there's so many things happening in the world and so much to keep exposing, because there's so many lies around that are forcing us into a very unpleasant direction, I think, if we don't wake up.
I think you're right. I certainly think you hit the nail on the head, as they say. It's just tremendously important that we dare and have the courage to talk about some of the things that are, you know, important for us to see the bigger picture and for us to realize what methods they're using against us to shut us down, to make us self-censor, to basically not rationally look at certain things. And obviously that's where we're going to go with this conversation today, Ole, because we brushed on this topic very lightly last time you were on the program. We were talking about false flags, and I mean that's your specialty, if you will. You look at conspiracies, shining a light on them, and trying to figure out, you know, what happened. And it might be in all cases that we don't have all the answers. We you know, as far as I'm seeing your work, Ole, you look at inconsistencies in it. You try to figure out what doesn't make sense in terms of what we know already. How do we approach the issue of false reporting and, you know, all these issues? And it's tremendously important. But why did you feel the need to go into this controversial area, if you will? I mean, it's the most controversial area that there is, I'd say, today. Why is this an important topic to you?
I tell you, I have been letting the truth guide me for so many years. I've demoted myself to say wherever the truth will lead me, I will follow. You know, and this has taken me into some very, very dangerous areas. I mean, I've had people killed around me. I had to leave Sweden and move to Spain here to get away from threats and so on. So the truth can be extremely powerful. And I so love the truth because it's so simple. It never needs to defend itself. You know, it is just the truth stands for itself with no explanations. The truth is just the truth. And whatever case you look at, there is a truth. There's always a truth. And it's, like I said, the truth is very simple. It can be hard to find, but when you get to the core of it, it's simple. But when somebody's making a conspiracy or trying to cover something up, they do it with the help of so-called lies. And the more lies, the more messy it gets. And the easier or the more obvious as well it is to track down and see, hang on, something is not right here. There's something strange going on. And then by either following the lies, because the lies will also guide you towards the truth if you just follow them and take care of them one by one by one, because there's always a reason for the lies. And this is what I've devoted some 30 years of my life to find out the real truth about what is going on. Because like you as well, I mean, you have devoted your life to this as well. There is a very sinister agenda going on behind what the official story is telling us.
Yeah.
And today we're heading into an area that I feel a little bit nervous about, because I've seen people getting totally destroyed for speaking out about this. I've seen their careers go totally smashed. I've seen people being put in prison just for raising questions about it. And so I think, well, the more they try to stop this, the more important it is for us to speak out about it.
Yeah.
And talk about it and just use normal logic to see what's going on. And I would very much like to look at history, but with an open mind instead of just buying into the official story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what sparked your curiosity in this area? Was it a few years ago and you just kind of avoided it, or was it just very recently? Because I mean, as I said, you've been looking at all kinds of historical frauds and, you know, false flags and propaganda and lies and these kinds of things. And I think there's a reluctancy to look at this area because there's just so much horror and carnage and bloodshed and misery surrounding it that I think most people just on an emotional level are choosing to stay away from it. But when did you get your eyes open to this?
Do you know, it's like they say, I mean, many different people are being said that have been quoted saying this, but the bigger the lie, the easier it is for people to believe it. And this lie we're talking about today, I mean, it's the size, it's astronomical. I think this and Hitler and the history around Hitler, the whole creation of him and what he was up to and the whole thing, these are some of the biggest conspiracies or cover-ups in the world ever.
Yeah.
And it's totally mind-blowing when you see the magnitude of it. But if this was only historical events, I wouldn't care so much about it. But it is because these things are being used to this very day in a very, very powerful and very dark way to cover up and justify awful things in the world today. Absolute awful things. And it's also being used as like a brick wall. So as soon as someone like myself with just an open mind and a logical brain says, hang on a second, this doesn't really make sense. I mean, come on, where do you get these numbers from? How do you make this possible? Because when you look at it, it's not really possible. But as soon as you even start pointing accusingly or with a critical question, they threaten you. People have been put to jail. They've been, like I said, they've had their lives and careers, everything totally destroyed to this very day just by raising questions. And I say, was it Voltaire that said, if you want to find out who is controlling you or who is the real power, just look at the ones you can't criticize. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Yeah, that's correct.
We are not allowed to criticize this. And this is why I contacted you to say, let's do it. Because you suggested it. I said, okay, let's do it. Because whatever the response will be for it, what will be, will be. But this needs to be exposed big time, big time.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need more brave people just looking at it. And I think one of the important things, there are many important things to remember, and you can add preface after preface and justifying, you know, why you're, you know, should be allowed to look at it and whatnot. But just for the facts that you said there, the very aspect that it has become one of the areas that you're not allowed to touch. I mean, that in itself and the way that people have been persecuted for going after this question and not making any, you know, really value judgments surrounding it, not really saying exactly what happened and whatnot. But just as you said, pointing out the questions and then ending up in so much trouble—that is it's a factor which is very important to remember. And also, of course, if it is the truth, then it should be able to stand on its own. It should be able to stand up to scrutiny. It should be able to be questioned and, of course, then proven right. But the very aspect that we are not even allowed to either disprove it or prove it right says something. And there's legal structures in place in certain countries where, you know, it by law has established, it's been by law established that, you know, the official story as we get to it, more or less, that's what happened. And it doesn't matter. I mean, the facts doesn't, you know, pertain to reality in this case. It's just, this is what happened according to the law. And therefore, if you question that, you break that law. And I mean, that's just, it's astonishing that we've gotten to this place, especially in the West, Ola, where we have a proud tradition of questioning and philosophizing and free speech and all these things. But all of a sudden, that just gone out the window.
It's like this conversation, if we had it in Germany now, we would be put to jail. This is bizarre just for talking about this in a critical way. And I, who are not, I'm used to speak to, speak. I've given hundreds of interviews about assassinations and very touchy areas and false flag operation, ongoing false flag operation, touchy, things around that. And normally I get strange reactions because people say, oh, come on, I cannot believe it can't be like that. But then when I present the facts, they very often say, oh my God. It's incredible, but I can see where you come from. But this area, I mean, as soon as I started mentioning that I was coming on your show and we were going to talk about this, people just get almost pale and say,
now you're with them, Ola. Now you've
No, but also it's sort of like, and I really want to point out, for me, this has nothing to do about not liking Jews, Muslims, Christian, Catholic. For me, it doesn't matter if you're red, white, blue, black, if you're Buddhist or a Hindu or a Jew or a Muslim, if you're a decent person that treats people and treat people around you with love and respect, I mean, my God, I totally embrace you. But if you're up to screw up the world for the rest, you know, and be part of very dark and sinister agendas that are hurting the world, then I will expose it. I will do everything I can to expose it. And here we are at the very core of some very, very dark stuff. And this is why we have this discussion today. And I've been a bit nervous to come on the show because I have no idea what's going to happen about this, but it just makes it even more important to show it. And what I would very much like to do is, instead of just having an opinion, I would very much like to just go into some details about this whole Holocaust thing and just point out things so that people with an open mind can start seeing, well, hang on, that sort of makes sense or not. It's up to the listeners to make up their mind, but I just want to point out some stuff that made me wake up. And and you asked about when did I wake up? I've been, for the last, I don't know how many years, at least 30 years, I've been looking into these things. I've done a lot of traveling around. I've visited some of the concentration camps. I've been to many historical sites from the First and Second World War. I've been to the Hitler's Eagle's Nest, all of these places, you know. And there's always been sort of a strange thing around this that it doesn't make sense. There's something that doesn't fit in, you know. And especially around the gas chambers, I could never get it to match up because it didn't make sense. How could they dispose of 6 million people the way it's supposed to be? We're being told it just doesn't match up when you start seeing the equipment they had, the locations they had, the transport system, the architecture of the stuff, you know, and these are the things that have made me sort of been very critical over the years in this area. And the more I look into it, the more astounded I am by the facts that are coming forward more and more.
Yeah, you bet. Now, later in the program, I want to talk a little bit more about some, you know, maybe some of the reactions that people might have, or we can speak about, I guess, the psychological and emotional impact and potential also why it's being, you know, so vehemently defended by people who maybe don't know that much about it, but also maybe people who, you know, think they know a lot about it. There's a lot of aspects to this that we can, you know, deconstruct, and we'll try to get some of those questions later. But just as you said, I think we should just dedicate some time here then into looking at what is the image that we've been presented with, what are the things that are countering the things that we've been presented with, and why then, Uli, in your view, some of the things doesn't make sense. What are some of the it's a massive issue and a massive story. There are people that have dedicated a good portion of their lives just researching and looking into this. There's a number of people that are that have come out of this world, if you will, that are scholars, that are scientists. They are you know, people from all walks of life that have found an interest in various ways for this. But give us your view about why you don't think that it occurred in the way that we've been told that it occurred.